Guten Morgen, everybody. Good to be back with you here at the OHLC, as you call yourself. I love coming back here. It's been a couple of years. Good to be with you all again. I love time traveling, especially I love time traveling to eras where there is the internet. I love the internet. I love to Google. And I love these things, you call them memes, right? Dank memes, some of them. We love the memes, don't we? These memes are these pictures with little captions that are humorous and entertaining that we find on the internet. But you know, those memes are not so new as you think. You share them in the different ways with the internet. But back in my day, we had our own thing called the Flugschriften, these flying papers that were like memes. You see, I would get together with my friend Lucas Kranick, and I would come up with the ideas, and Kranick would make these drawings. Sometimes they were kind of naughty little cartoons that we would come up with, the two of us. And we would publish these Flugschriften on the printing press, these flying papers, these pamphlets, and they would go, viral. They would go viral. They'd spread across Europe. So, for instance, one of these memes that we created was the time when the Pope tried to ban our faith. And I showed a cartoon of two German peasants breaking wind in the face of the Pope. How do you like it? Yes, yes. No, don't clap. That's not nice. And it had a caption. It had a caption with this. I'm trying to translate this into good English here. But the caption was, "Don't frighten us, Pope, with your ban. Don't be such a furious man, otherwise we'll bend over and show you our can." That's what. Nice. This is an early meme. Yes, we can move on from this. Yes. This is why, of course, your pastor doesn't invite me back very often. So your pastor would like me to take some questions from the congregation, which I am happy to do. So who has a question for Dr. Luther here today?
Oh, yes. Dr. Luther.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You look marvelous for
your
age.
Thank you.
Yes, but I've been wondering all these years, the last Sunday of October is always Reformation. Why do I get stuck in a rut? Thank you.
Yes, yes, good question. Why the last Sunday of the October for the Reformation Sunday? Well, good question. There were many reformations before the big one, the Lutheran Reformation. There was Jan Hus, the wild goose of Prague, for instance. But the big Lutheran Reformation really started in earnest on October 31st, 1517. That is the day that I went up to the big door of the castle church in Wittenberg there, on October 31st, not to trick-or-treat. That's not why I went there. I went to this door to post my 95 theses, which was this urgent call for debate. There were things I wanted to discuss. You see, as a monk, I had the opportunity to study the scriptures deeply. And the more I looked to God's word and then at the church, the more I compared the two, the more I saw that the church had gone far afield from the word of God. Things just didn't line up. Church practices just didn't line up with what I was reading in the Word of God. Take forgiveness, for example. The Scriptures do not speak of forgiveness as something that must be earned. They do not speak of forgiveness as something that is to be bought and sold, for crying out loud. Forgiveness in Scripture is something that is to be proclaimed, is something to be pronounced, is something to be announced to people freely in Jesus' name, to be given away. And take the sacraments. The Scriptures do not speak of the sacraments as a sacrifice we make to God. They are presented as a gift to us, as a gift from the Lord Jesus to his people, a gift of grace, a gift of his presence, a gift of his promises. There are many other things that didn't line up, of course. There was the papacy, and there was the marriage of priests, and there were the nature of saints, all kinds of things. I could go on and on and on, and believe me, I did. Things were way out of alignment with what God's word said in the Scriptures. And so the 95 theses I wrote was the first step in sparking some reform, or at least talking about it. It was the first step in trying to clean up some of this spiritual mischief perpetuated on God's people by church bureaucrats. It was an opportunity to help the gospel to ring once again in the ears of the people. And so in one of the theses I wrote, the true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. I posted these theses again on October 31st, the night before All Saints Day, when I knew the church would be very full, so everybody would see it. So this is why on the last Sunday in October we celebrate, why Reformation Sunday technically, or Reformation Day rather, is on October 31st. There's no tricks here, just the treat of the gospel, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Thank you for the question. Can I take another question here this morning? Who has another one? Yes, sir.
What do you believe is your greatest accomplishment?
Thank you. My greatest accomplishment. Well, I think I would have to say my greatest accomplishment was my translation of the scriptures into the language of the people. My translation of the Bible, so I could put the Word of God in the hands of the people. And I'm glad you asked, because there's a great story behind this. See, I was taken to the Diet of Worms, this meeting in this town of Worms, where I was put on trial for heresy. Can you believe it? Good old Martin Luther on trial for heresy. How about that? When I refused to recant what I had written, there was a price on my head. The Emperor Charles, who was just a punk kid at the time, had to guarantee my safe conduct. He promised me that, so I was able to leave Worms. But as I left to go back to Wittenberg, I was kidnapped. These riders in black surrounded me. One of them put a bag over my head, and they carted me away on horseback. But I was kidnapped by my friends. You see, Prince Frederick had staged the whole thing in order to sweep me away to the castle at Wartburg, where I could lay low, as they say, until things died down. Little did I know I would spend a year hiding in the Wartburg castle, but I used that time to translate the scriptures into the language of the people. And here's what I did. I came up with a disguise. I grew out my beard. I got some clothes from a knight, and I put a sword on my belt, and I had this persona of Knight George, and I would go out into the taverns and into the marketplaces in disguise so I could listen to the people and hear how the people spoke and capture how they talked to one another so that I could translate into a language that they could understand. I wanted to put the Word of God in the hands of the people so that the church could never bury the gospel ever again. Greatest accomplishment. Thank you. Thank you for the good question. I could take another question. Who has another one? Yes, ma'am.
Luther, what was your biggest challenge in life?
My biggest challenge in life. Well, I'd have to point to three. Sin, death, and the devil. Those of you who've read my writings know those are the big three. Sin, death, and the devil have always been my greatest challenges. As a young monk, I wrestled mightily with sin. I felt like I never measured up. I could never shake the feeling that I was always falling short of what God expected of me. That haunted me throughout my life, really, but especially after I read in Romans, I was set free from those fears, largely. Because we read in Romans that righteousness before God is not something we achieve for ourselves. It is rather a gift that's given to us through Jesus Christ, received in faith. This was a game changer for me in my battle against sin. I, like many of you, have known the sting of death. My dear wife, Katie, and I had 6 children together. We lost 2 of those children to death. One died as an infant, Elizabeth. Then another of our children, Magdalena, our beloved dear Magdalena, died at the tender age of 13. My grief was so crushing in those days that I never thought I'd come out from underneath it. But Christ Jesus held me fast throughout those dark days. And of course, there were all the times that I could feel the hot breath of the devil bearing down on my neck, planting doubts in me about my worth, planting doubts in me about my work. The statues that I see of me always portray me as brave and bold, but there were so very many nights where I faced those dark nights of the soul. The devil wreaked havoc on my time, on my era, such that many of us thought that the end was near. There was so much violence, so much disease. Society seemed to be pulling apart at the seams. There was so little hope apart from Christ. So, I would say sin, death, and the devil, three biggest challenges in my life. I have time for one more question before I need to get back to Wittenberg. So, who has another one? Yes, sir.
What would you like to say to Lutheran Christians today?
What would I like to say to Lutheran Christians today? Boy, how much time do we have? Well, the first thing I would say is that your time isn't really all that different from my time. You might think it's radically different, but really it's not that different at all. Sin, death, and the devil are still as alive as ever. I know that you struggle against sin, even though that might seem like a passé concept in your time. I see how hard you work to try to make yourself righteous in a million different ways. And what does that get you? It gets you either pride or despair, both of which are rampant in your culture. I know that you have buried people that you love, some of them far, far too soon. I know that your culture is rife with anxiety and with despair. It seems that every generation thinks that theirs is the worst yet. And so I say to you what our Lord Christ says to us in the gospel reading for today. Continue in his word. That is where you will find hope. That is where you will find new life. That is where you will find the truth that sets you free. Continue in his word and you will know the Lord. As Jeremiah says, the Lord will write his law on your heart. You will know that he forgives your iniquity and remembers your sin no more. Continue in his word. Continue in his word and you will know that God is your shelter and your refuge and your strength and your mighty fortress. This is so important to know amidst all the challenges of every generation. Continue in his word and you will know that no matter how far short you fall of the glory of God, you have been made right with him. You've been made right with God by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is a gift. Continue in this word so that you will truly be Christ's disciples. Continue in this word so he can continue to reform your hearts in faith and hope and love and joy. Continue in his word so that this good news that has been given to us will never be buried by the church ever again. Our Lord Jesus calls all Christians of all times and all places to continue in his word. That is to abide in it. To remain in it, to immerse ourselves in it. And our Lord Jesus promises that if we continue in his word, we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And if the Son makes you free, he promises, you will be free indeed. And now I must be going, friends. And so I bid you peace in Christ Jesus, and I leave you with a hymn that I wrote on this very topic. Please stand as you are able as we sing.